This week on Straight Talk Africa.
We very strongly believe in the potential of Africa.
The International Monetary Fund's Kristalina Georgieva talks about the African continent and the future. She focuses on the importance of good governance as a precondition for economic growth. Is artificial intelligence a necessary tool that can facilitate effective governance? Straight Talk Africa starts right now. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa. I'm your host, Vincent McCorry. The annual fall meetings of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund are taking place this week here in Washington, during which there is an assessment of the world's economy and a look towards the future. The International Monetary Fund's Managing Director, Kristalina Georgieva, announced that the world has managed to push back inflation without the world's economy slipping into recession. But she noted that prices have risen due to inflation. This means that we are entering a period of low growth and high debt. What does this mean for the poorest countries on the African continent? The IMF's Managing Director spoke to me about Africa and its future.
We very strongly believe in the potential of Africa because the continent has youthful population, whereas the rest of the world is aging. It has rich natural resources, and we have seen countries that are decisive to put in place strong policies and institutions to have good governance, that they can be highly performing, fast-growing economies. We have been a solid and reliable partner for Africa, especially now when the world has gotten into this shock upon shock upon shock period of time. What we have done when the pandemic hit was to mobilize swiftly very sizable emergency financing. Country after country benefited from an injection of liquidity. And then we did something historic. We provided our membership with record high special drawing rights contribution. This is our ability to create reserves from the strength of the totality of the membership. So Africa got, sub-Saharan Africa, more specifically, got $62 billion injection of liquidity and reserves from the fund when countries needed it the most. I'm not going to say who it was, but I remember vividly, we're in the midst of the pandemic, very high uncertainty, economies are brought to a standstill, and we deliver emergency financing with record speed. One of the African leaders received the emergency financing and called me when it was 2 o'clock in the morning for him to tell me how critically important this injection of resources was, truly life-saving. And to that very day, I think of us, of the fund, of our duty to everybody, but especially to our most vulnerable members, to be there when they need us. Today, we have 25 programs in sub-Saharan Africa. And a very important, something I'm very proud of, in sub-Saharan Africa, we have the largest number of our new long-term financing instrument because it is to help African countries deal with climate change. Africa has done nothing to create this problem. Africa is hammered so dramatically by it. So we took an extra effort to be there for Africa.
So, Madam Managing Director, you have said, and I listened to you talk about debt and say you cannot get yourself out of your mess by just borrowing and over-borrowing. But Africa is estimated, sub-Saharan Africa is estimated to have up to $800 billion in debt, and that is growing. Probably. Now, you may have injected some finances to different African countries, but how does that become effective when all these countries are still under that heavy burden and they want to borrow because they have infrastructural projects that they want to implement, but at the same time, they need the funds, but also they're short and they're unable to pay?
The story of debt is country-specific. We can't put everybody in the same pot. We have three types of countries in Africa. Those that have access to markets and use this access responsibly, where debt is good because it is invested in growth and opportunities. We have those that have access to markets, but have borrowed not so responsibly, with projections for a world that is always growing, and now we see growth is slow, where the issue of debt management, how can we get countries to be on a sound debt management path, is critical. And then we have countries where, sometimes not for fault of their own, that is not sustainable, it has to be restructured. We have put in place a very important three-pronged approach to the liquidity problems, but also the solvency problems we see in Africa. On the liquidity side, what we work with countries is to help them get more resources domestically and use this money wisely. Look, my very first trip to Africa when I became managing director was to a meeting in Dakar in Senegal on this very issue of debt. And what my message to everybody was, look, if you don't raise revenues, of course you're going to have a problem. We have established that revenues have to be 15% of GDP or more. So get your, especially your wealthy people and your wealthy businesses to pay their fair share and then use money wisely. But then, of course, look at how the international community can help. Debt restructuring, debt reprofiling, sometimes debt forgiveness. We did, the fund during COVID, we did $1 billion of debt forgiveness to our poorest members. So work from all sides.
Yeah. Now, you talk about restructuring. You've talked about consolidation. But when it comes to, for example, raising revenue, we've seen across the continent people really debate and sometimes grumble and sometimes actually go on the streets because of that, because it constitutes raising taxes, and sometimes it's confusing in terms of which sectors would be more effective. But at the same time, there's always the debate of the fact that African countries are at different stages of development. They have different conditions and circumstances. How challenging is this, and how do you help countries to really be able to achieve that without having upheavals in their countries?
Look, you said something very important. Countries are in different stages of development, and they face different types of problems. It is one thing to be in the Sahel. It's a different thing to be in Horn of Africa. It's a different thing to be Côte d'Ivoire, and it's a different thing to be Mali. So that's a very different situations. And we work very hard with countries to establish what exactly the status of the country is, diagnostics of the conditions. We are like a family doctor. We come, we take the vital signs, and then we establish what is the best way to have healthy economy of a country. Where we are particularly loud these days is on the topic of governance. If governments do not earn the trust of their people, it would be very difficult to take the steps necessary to build a strong economy. We have introduced, we call them governance diagnostics, as part of this health test we do. Sometimes there is pushback. Oh, you know, we don't want you to look into the way we function. We concentrate on what we know. Are you transparent in your tax collection? Can we see the receipts? What did you spend the money for? Is there corruption? What can be done to eliminate it? And I think the more we also work with countries in these different circumstances with transparency from our side to tell people in Africa what do we do and how we do it, I think also the easier it would be for the fund itself to convey the policy advice we offer. Mm-hmm. I want to say something about Voice for Africa. On November 1st this year, our board of directors would grow from 24 executive directors to 25. And the new one would be additional chair for Sub-Saharan Africa. Because the region has been underrepresented, and yet it is the region where I strongly believe the fund will have to engage more. Diversity of countries, some with very significant challenges. So we need to get to know each other more and better.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Now, I wanted to just go back a little bit to the issue of how the IMF is helping countries to deal with severe drought. Millions of Africans today are really under very severe situations, and they want to see if they can take comfort in knowing that IMF is working with their countries to deal with those situations.
Well, it is drought in one place and floods in another. Climate change is real, and the way we help Africa to address the challenge of climate change is threefold. One, when we now do this health check of countries, we look at the vulnerabilities to climate risks, so we can put in place policies that are building resilience to these shocks that they, when they come. Two, we have created a special instrument, the Resilience and Sustainability Trust, exactly for that reason. And for the first time in our history, we offer long-term concessional financing to countries to build that resilience to climate shocks. And three, we bring others. We have created, we call it a business roundtable. We have created a way in which we invite, we do our analysis, and then we invite other institutions, development banks, the private sector, of course, together with the government of the country, to say, okay, how can we get meaningful injection of finance, of resources? We did this, for the first time, we did it with Rwanda. And it was so effective that now Rwanda says, we want to do a second program with the fund. In other words, we use the fact that the fund is recognized as the finance authority to call on others to zero in on Africa and provide more meaningful support to Africa.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to talk to you, like for the rest of the day, but I know time is limited. Is there anything you may want to say that perhaps I didn't ask that is so critical for you to mention at this time?
It is a difficult time for the world. It is a more fragmented, more distrustful world that we live in. Don't take it as given. Africa rightly has aspirations for its people. Press, use your voice to force reason and cooperation, because without it, a fragmented world would be a weaker world. Those that are today in a weaker position would be most severely impacted. So call for solidarity and count on us to be your agent.
Well, this was the International Monetary Fund's Managing Director, Kristalina, talking about the IMF and Africa. It's time for a short break. When we return, we'll focus on the importance of governance in Africa with the advent of artificial intelligence. Stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Linoch Mudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
Leading change for a safe and prosperous Sahel. That's according to the UNDP, the United Nations Development Program. However, UNDP notes that women also continue to face numerous challenges stemming from deeply ingrained social cultural norms and structural barriers. On this week's episode of Our Voices, we hear about their journeys and what experts say they can do for greater gains when fighting for peace and security on the continent. Join the conversation each week right here on Our Voices.
Welcome back. In the first part of our show, we heard the managing director of the International Monetary Fund, Kristalina Georgieva, talk about the pressing need for good governance as a necessary precondition for African economies to flourish. Now we have tools that can facilitate certain processes in government. With us to talk about how artificial intelligence can be used effectively by governments is Chinasa Okolo, a fellow at the Center for Technology Innovation in the Government Studies Program at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. Chinasa is a Nigerian-American and has been identified by the Times Magazine as one of the 100 most influential people in artificial intelligence. Chinasa, welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you so much. Very happy to be here.
Thank you. Now, many times when people hear about artificial intelligence, AI, they think of some weird kind of machine somewhere, some robot or something. Could you just demystify a little bit what AI is all about, actually?
Yeah, I mean, It consists of so many different technologies. You know, today we've been, I always say, consumed by the primary form of AI, or probably the most popular form of AI, which is generative AI. And so these consist of chatbots, and also image generators and just general content generators that help people, produce content. However, AI, again, is many different technologies. The basis of it is machine learning, which basically leverages data to understand predictions or also trends in data to also provide novel predictions on this content.
Yes. And now we're learning that actually AI, artificial intelligence, can literally and perhaps is transforming how governments function globally. Mm-hmm. In the context of Africa, how do we see AI being applied in governance?
Yeah, so it's still emerging, but there are very interesting use cases, particularly, you know, throughout the African countries. So Nigeria, Madagascar, South Africa, these countries, for example, are leveraging AI and governance processes to help with election, with voter management, to understand, different places for polling, and then also helping just generally with cybersecurity threats, which are a very big issue that affect African countries within elections, but also generally. Mm-hmm. And then other countries like Togo, for example, are leveraging these technologies to help with social services distribution. For example, their Novisi program has provided mobile money their distribution program has provided mobile money cash transfers to communities within the country, given the many economic challenges that COVID has posed on them.
Now, we heard the IMF Managing Director talk about governance, and in fact, in another conversation, he talked about the importance of AI. In terms of development, which sector could benefit most in African governments if AI is deployed effectively?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, I think that we're still a bit early for many African countries to effectively take advantage of AI services. But again, I think that social services are probably one of the best ways that we can see AI being leveraged to help really identify those that are most at need, and then also to help scale distribution measures, along with leveraging novel technologies that African countries have pioneered, like mobile money, for example. In other cases, I think just outside of government, but ways that government can help improve how AI is applied in specific sectors could be definitely in manufacturing and also in agriculture. Particularly, agriculture is, a very big sector within African countries. However, we see that there's a lot of wastage, and also these processes in terms of farming are not necessarily the most efficient. So AI could definitely help in streamlining and optimizing farm yields, and also helping farmers distribute their crops more effectively.
Yes. Now, we know that one of the things that is undermining development across the continent of Africa is fraud. It's corruption, for example, in the systems. Mm-hmm. And it has been said that if you use AI, it can actually help detect this. How could that be deployed? How could governments or even other organizations leverage AI to stop wastage of funds?
Yes. I think this is a really important issue. And unfortunately, I follow many organizations within Africa, particularly within Nigeria, that are focused on identifying, a lot of this fraud that's happening, particularly when it comes to government contracts for building schools, building hospitals, building roads. And we often see that there's a lot of duplication in terms of where funds are going. And I think AI could definitely be helpful in identifying this and ensuring that, payments are made as sufficient progress is made in addressing or attacking, I would say, the challenges that are, supposed to be the tasks are supposed to be done as these contracts are done out. And then also, I think another thing is that we often see things about ghost workers, people being on payrolls that necessarily haven't clocked in for 8 months or even years. And I think that AI has a strong potential to help eliminate this kind of fraud as well.
Sort of force people to be accountable, because yes, there will be some other systems that expose what's going on.
Exactly.
Now, there's something also that has been mentioned, data-driven decision-making. Yes. And we have a lot of issues in terms of decision-making in African governments. Mm-hmm. And so how does that help actually countries develop better? What do people need to know? Mm-hmm. How AI could help in data-driven decision-making in government?
Most definitely. Having data essentially lets us know what are the issues and then also provides us with the opportunities to leverage tools like AI and other statistical methods to help address them. And so AI can also be very useful in helping digitize a lot of this data that we see piling up in hospitals, you know, government facilities and schools to help us understand, you know, what are the issues that we're seeing in terms of retention and also advancement in these respective fields. And so as we digitize this data, then we can also leverage AI. And so AI can be used on both sides of the equation.
Yes. And the IMF is in those conversations that are going on, and even our conversation with the managing director did highlight severe weather conditions, whether drought or flooding. Now talk about AI in helping to mitigate those situations.
Yeah, so AI, there are already many interesting use cases of AI helping in this domain specifically. Google in their AI lab in Accra actually is developing or has developed very effective AI flood forecasting tools, which have been very useful for recent floods in Cameroon and also in Mozambique and other tropical areas within Africa. And so I think there's much potential for data to continually be collected and also help countries improve their flood forecasting systems locally.
Yeah. So actually, what I thought when I listened to all this is that everybody's interacting with AI,
yes,
only sometimes they don't know.
Exactly.
So it's something that you would say Africans across the board should not be intimidated by the whole concept of AI.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I would say so. You know, for decades now, you know, people have been exposed to AI through recommendation systems, you know, and also things like autocomplete and Siri or other voice assistant systems. But now tools like ChatGPT have finally given people direct control and also direct access to actually interact with AI. However, there are many concerns with these technologies, but I think they provide many opportunities to increase information access.
What stops most African governments from deploying AI in most of their sectors?
The biggest thing is that infrastructure. You know, to run AI, you need electricity, definitely constant electricity, to train these systems. And so, and again, when we think about the, I would say, concentration of mobile technologies and also even computers, which are, you know, things that you really need to train AI systems, I think this really impacts how African governments are able to develop and also deploy these systems in their local countries.
And AI, of course, again, would have helped to bring about some of those developments, right? And then, you know, bring about energy and so on and so forth.
In a certain way, you know, I'm very wary of saying that AI can solve all these problems because, you know, AI cannot build roads. You have to have people to do that. And so I think, like, once you have these roads, AI can be leveraged in many different ways. But we still have to, African countries still have to focus on these basic development challenges.
Well, thank you very much, Chinasa.
Thank you.
Well, we have to leave it here. Thank you for the thought-provoking discussion. We appreciate your time. And Chinasa Okolo is a fellow at the Center for Technology Innovation in the Government in the Governance Studies Program at the Brookings Institution here in Washington. Thanks to our affiliate stations for broadcasting Straight Talk Africa across the continent. Check out Straight Talk Africa on social media. Like us on Facebook, follow us on X, watch us also on YouTube, and let us know what you think. I'll see you next time.